Well, 2 weeks ago, I began looking at all the various spiritual blessings that we've received in Christ. And we began focusing on how those spiritual blessings actually provide us with what we need, not only for us spiritually, but also within our souls, in our bodies, in our lives and relationships. How many know that all relates to the natural realm? Amen? And that which is spiritual, those spiritual blessings, is what's been given to us in our spirit, which has to do with the spiritual realm. And the principle that I established was this: just as sin brought death, spiritual death to mankind, which in turn brought pain and suffering into our soul, body, life, and relationships, faith in Christ and confessing Him as Lord brings spiritual blessings into a person's life that can bring healing, transformation, and provision in one's life. And so we establish that principle because we all know what this death thing is like, right? We've experienced the consequences of sin, the suffering, the pain, the sorrow, the anguish, emotionally, physically, relationally, materially. We've experienced all that. But isn't it great to know that through Christ and what He's provided by way of spiritual blessings, that through those blessings, we can be healed. We can be transformed. We can tap into the supernatural provision of God. And so this morning, what I want to continue focusing on is how we can lay hold of that which has already been provided in the spiritual blessings, but we need to receive and experience within the natural realm, into our souls, bodies, lives, and relationships. And so, I want us to see that principle again in Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. Because how many know I established this 2 weeks ago. We need to know who we are and what we possess in Christ. Amen? We need to know those things. And so Ephesians 2, 1 through 7, it says, "As for you, you were," everybody say were. "You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world." I think we've touched on that already this morning. Amen? "And of the ruler of the kingdom of the air." How many know that he tries to get you to go by the way of the world? "The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Amen? "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions." Amen? "It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ," and here's the punchline, "and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Now, how many of you physically went to heaven yet? Nope. Or you wouldn't be here today, right? So we're talking about what happened spiritually when we gave our life to Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, it continues, "in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His to us in Christ Jesus." It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So we've been seated in heavenly places spiritually through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we are there. We, spiritually speaking, we're already seated with Him. Is that an incredible thought or what? Okay. But then now that we're there, This is what we've received. We've touched on this already. Ephesians 1, verse 3. It's supposed to be just 3. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So, how many know God didn't just give you part of the spiritual blessings? 20%, even 80%. He gave you 100, every spiritual blessing in Christ. You got seated there and you got blessed. All right, now here's the major blessings that we've received. Through Christ's wounds, his sinless death, and resurrection, he provided all of these spiritual blessings for mankind. Justification, reconciliation, healing, salvation, adoption to sonship, sanctification, and resurrection power. Now, if those terms are unfamiliar to you, that's what we focused on the last message. So if you'd like to get a little more understanding of what those terms really mean, you can go on to our website. We post our messages on the website, or you can even request from the guys in the booth a CD, and you can go back through that and you can understand. We're going to touch a little bit on them as we go through them, but what I want us to understand is this. When we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we receive all those spiritual blessings, and the place that we receive them is within our spirit. Amen? So we receive them in that inner place that's been seated in heavenly places. All of those things, that's where they occur. That's where they enter into us. That's so we hold on to them. All right? And once we've received all of those blessings that come, they actually then, once they reside there, become supernatural provisions that can bring healing and transformation within our souls and bodies, as well as various other provisions we need within our lives and relationships. And it's important that we understand this, because there's some in the church that think, well, some of those things apply in certain areas of life, but others, well, we don't really know how to experience the blessings in this realm, in the natural realm. But I'm telling you, God doesn't give you something and go, well, you can just stare at it for a while. You can just, you know, look it over and see how beautiful it is and how amazing it is. How many know God wants us to access those things? Amen? Every single one of them. And so that's what we're going to be spending our time doing over the next few weeks, is we're going to be looking at what it is that those provide that we can access. Now, after that, we're going to start looking at how do we access them. But before you're ever going to access something, you got to believe it's available, right? If I don't think there's any bread on the shelf at the grocery store, I'm not going to run down to the grocery store because I don't really believe there's anything. But if I think there's something there, now there, I'm going to go after it. And so what I want you to see is what is on the shelf for you to obtain, not only in your spirit, but also in your soul, in your body, in your life, and in relationships. Amen? Now last week, we began looking at the first spiritual blessing, which is justification. All right? Now, justification, I am going to give you these little definitions as we go along because I want to bring everything together. Justification is the supernatural and instant cleansing of a person from sin, whereby they are made righteous before God. Amen? Isn't it a good thing we put our faith in Jesus Christ that all our sin in our spirit was washed clean? That means you were justified. Okay, but then now that we've been justified, what does justification provide us with in our soul and in our body? Well, here it is. Justification provides forgiveness and cleansing as well for the soul and the body. And we looked at 1 John 1:5 through 2:2. But I'm just going to start with verse 9, and we're going to go through chapter 2, verse 2. If we have sinned, how many know Christians at times still disobey God? Amen? Now, is that a good idea? No. There are consequences even in this realm, amen? But how many know we do it? And how many know there's a difference between practicing sin and having those moments of weakness where we fall short, right? Now, we have to be careful that we don't start making excuses for ourselves for doing that. But here's what John says. If that does happen, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So he basically says, fess up, right? Don't deny that you've sinned. Don't pretend that it doesn't exist. Don't pretend that what it is you did isn't a sin when you even know very clearly that it is and the Holy Spirit is pricking your conscience because you know it violates God's word, right? Confess it. Admit it. How many of you parents just love it when you know your kid did something disobedient? You know it. It's written all over their face. And they stand there and they go, no, I didn't do it. And you know they're lying through their teeth. Does that make you very happy? Now, it's not like you're thrilled that they made the bad choice in the first place. But the reality is you want them to come clean, right? Because you know that if they don't, that adds insult to injury. It now puts into question their integrity, that they're not willing to admit the wrong that they've done. I imagine there's supervisors that feel that way about employees. I imagine there's police officers that feel that way about people who commit crimes, right? But the reality is God's saying, listen, come clean, admit it. Confession is just simply agreeing with God about what you did and then verbalizing it. That's really what confession is, okay? But notice verse 10, he says, but if we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Now, that's not a good idea to make God to be the one that you're saying is a liar. Not a good idea, right? He says, my dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. So here's the key. This is what justification provides. It provides you also that through confession, you can be forgiven of your sin, even in your at the soul and body realm. Amen? So 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So here's an action step. When that happens, confess and repent, which just means turn away from it. Agree that what God says is wrong, and go the other direction. Go away from sin, go to God. Amen? Any sin that we have yielded to in our appetites, attitudes, or actions. Okay? Now that's really what we focused on the last time in terms of the first provision, what it provides not only in the spirit but the soul and body. This morning we're going to look at two other spiritual blessings that we receive and how they are provisions for our lives. We're going to look at the spiritual blessing of reconciliation and healing, and focus on what they provide for us in our souls, bodies, and relationships, all right? So number one is reconciliation. Again, reconciliation is the instant and supernatural reuniting of a person back into right relationship with God because sin no longer separates us from God. That's good news. I like being back in relationship with God. How about you? Amen? And so that's what we receive as a spiritual blessing. But now here's what that spiritual blessing provides us. It provides us the ministry of reconciliation. See, God wants all his children to be reconciled to him. Amen? And how many know the Bible talks about if there's, you know, unless someone preaches the word, unless someone has beautiful feet, goes, preaches the word, then if people don't hear, how can they know? Amen? And so once we've received a knowledge of the truth, God wants us to be vessels of reconciliation to help other people come to know Christ. And so we see this in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. Let's look at that passage. Or excuse me, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. And here it is, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses or their sins against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, let me know, if you want to know what it's there for, you read what's in front of it. We just read that, right? So therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? And so, you and I, because we have been reconciled to God, now become his ambassadors. And an ambassador is a representative of one nation to another nation. So that means we're no longer citizens of this world. Amen? We are now citizens of the kingdom of God. We are now God's ambassadors. And so he has given us the ministry. And how many know when you go and you share the ministry of reconciliation, an ambassador doesn't have the liberty to add or subtract from the other nation's leader's message. We do not have the liberty to add or subtract from God's message. And I'm telling you today, there are too many churches, too many leaders in churches who are adding and subtracting from God's message and giving their own message. And they've stopped operating in the ministry of reconciliation that was assigned to us when we became reconciled to God. And so that is our job. We are a representative of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's your ministry. But you've got to step out and do it. Amen? You've got to share with people. You've got to connect with people. You've got to build that relationship. You know, do you ever bridge the subject with people? That's the question you have to ask yourself. You'll get to know people, you'll work with people, but do you ever bridge the subject? Now, that doesn't mean you've got to walk up to somebody and say, "Do you know if you're going to heaven or you're going to hell?" No, you don't. You know what? An ambassador isn't going to go to another nation's leaders and just go, "This is the way it is, buddy, whether you like it or not. Are you doing what the expectations of the United States of America?" Yeah, right, buddy. He'll thumb his nose at you, right? And if we do that with people out there in the world, they're going to thumb their nose at us too. But nonetheless, there comes a point where how many know ambassadors sometimes have to be good diplomats? Now, you don't compromise the home country's message, but there's a way to be diplomatic in presenting it. We need to be sometimes a little more diplomatic in the church. But nonetheless, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, and we need to call people to be reconciled to God. Amen? So that's one of our missions and ministries. Okay? And so, application point. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. Do you know that? So do you beg people, not on your knees, but you can see Paul's heart. He's like, please, do you understand the cost? Do you have that kind of a heart for people? That kind of a compassion for people? Please, be reconciled to God. So reach out and communicate the message of reconciliation with people who need Christ. Amen? And then the final spiritual blessing I'm going to look at today is healing. Healing is the supernatural and instant restoration of one's spirit from spiritual death. Are you not glad that that which was lost has been found? And not only found, but restored. See, that's why the Bible says, and we've looked at this, it says, by his stripes you have been healed. Because you've been healed in your spirit. But now please remember this. What has happened in your spirit becomes a provision for your soul and your body. Yes, I did say body. It is a guaranteed provision. But it is one that we have to lay hold of. It's there, folks. Don't ever let anybody tell you it might or might not be God's will to heal you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. It is always God's will. Right? Do you believe it's always God's will that you be engaged in the ministry of reconciliation? Do you ever think it's not God's will that you, okay, sometimes you probably shouldn't be involved in that ministry. I'm only going to give it to you 80% of the time. Or do you think that the justification that you receive, do you think you should only confess your sins 80% of the time in order to be forgiven? It's a spiritual blessing, right? So is healing. See, the church has separated, they've isolated ideas. It's no different. We've got to get that in our spirit. It is a spiritual blessing. You have been healed. Therefore, it has been provided for you to get healed in your soul and in your body. It's there. Now, how I admit the process on how that happens and how we lay hold of that, well, there are some issues in there. We'll get to that in future messages. But you've got to seal this in your heart and in your mind that it's a done deal. It's provided. It's guaranteed. It's there. Period. Or you are disassociating that as being unique from all the other spiritual blessings. My Bible says he provided every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen? So let's look at this. Let's look at how it functions in the Word of God as a provision now. Not only for, it's been given in our spirit, but it's also provided for our soul and body. But let's walk through the process now of how that unfolds, okay? Let's look at Psalm 103, 1 through 5. And I'm going to start from the Old Testament, and we're going to work to Jesus, and we're going to work to the apostles, and we're going to work to us. Because so many people think, those first three categories, that worked. But then, it's over. Let me ask you, was I not let in on the idea that he pulled that healing blessing? When did he do that? I think he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen? And when God gives something, he doesn't yank it away. Okay? So, Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all. Everybody say all. All his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals 25% of your diseases. That ain't what that says. He heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many know sometimes we need some flat-out healing to get our youth renewed like the eagles? Amen? That's a promise in God's Word. Now, I can already hear, because I know how people think, and I know what they've been taught. Well, that's the Old Testament. Which is interesting because Jesus came in the New Testament to provide, you know, the new covenant for healing. And yet, isn't it, how distorted do we get in our minds sometimes? Right? Well, that's the old, I mean, the enemy, he just likes to serve up all the doubt cards he can come up with, doesn't he? Come on. I know. I've bid on a few of them from time to time. I have to be honest. But there it is. There's a promise. All right, let's go to Matthew 8:14-17. Jesus comes on the scene, all right? Now we know that his wounds provided the spiritual healing. But look at what he was doing prior even to that provision, because mind you, he never sinned. So he never lost power or authority, even in the natural realm, correct? So it says, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word. Listen, and he healed 25% of the sick. All the sick. Well, come on, there had to have been at least three or four that were really bad and it wasn't his will to heal them. Come on. All right. Thank you. All. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet of Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. See, Jesus did it, and people then, again, now here's the doubt card. Well, that was Jesus. Yes, it was Jesus. And I'm going to tell you why he healed all the sick and was able to heal all the sick. It wasn't just because he was the Messiah. It's because as the Messiah, he was without sin. He was without fear. He was without doubt. He didn't have a sin nature that gets in the way of this thing, our head, our mind. This is what gets in the way. That wasn't in his way. He had no sin nature. And so, yes, he did it, but it wasn't just because he was the Messiah, but because as the Messiah, there was nothing to hinder. Although, mind you, now listen to this. Remember when he went back to his own hometown? And it said he could only heal a few sick people. He could not do many miracles or mighty works there. It was because of their unbelief. See, it was this thing that was getting in the way. They were stumbling over. Well, that's Joseph's son. That's who he's, you know, didn't he make the table that I'm eating off of over here? And because of their unbelief, they inhibited Jesus. Jesus didn't inhibit Jesus. So let me ask you, the same spirit of Jesus Christ that rose him from the dead lives in you. So what's doing the inhibiting? Jesus? Or is it still us? And all of our doctrines and all of our teachings and all of our experiences and all our doctors and all, on and on and on. Now, I'm not against doctors, so don't misunderstand that. But when their word contradicts God's word, that's when they become a problem for us. Amen? In our minds. And it trips us up. But Jesus came on the scene and healed all their diseases. So he did it. Okay, was it just Jesus? Well, let's Matthew 10, 1, 5, and 5 through 8. I'm breaking down the verses just to stay on point, okay? Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal 25% of the diseases and sickness. Are you starting to pick up this word all and every? It's kind of an all thing, you know? Did you notice that? These 12 Jesus set out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. How many knew that was going to come after Pentecost, right? Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near you. Listen to this. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. How many of you in here have freely received every spiritual blessing? Okay? Freely give. Are you going to say, well, show me how to do that? That's coming later. I just want you to know you've got it. Right? And it's not just for your spirit. It's also for your soul and body. All right, let's continue on. So there was the 12. Well, what about the 70 or 72, depending on the translation you read? After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. When you enter a town and you are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Here it is. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. So did Jesus change what he told the 12 with the 72? Told them the same thing, amen? The 72 returned with joy. This is verse 17 now. And said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. How many know that's spiritual? Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen? Now that is the ultimate goal. That is the eternal factor. But nonetheless, Jesus gave that to them because guess what? He also gave them the ministry of reconciliation. The kingdom of heaven is near. And so heal those people. Set them free from demonic oppression. Raise them from the dead. Freely you've received, freely give. That was Jesus' message. So it was also to the 72. All right, now, what about us? Well, listen to John 14, 9 through 14. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Because Philip had said, Jesus, show us the Father. And Philip's saying, well, Jesus saying, Philip, don't you know me? I've been with you for quite some time now. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? See, Jesus is not referring to his flesh, is he? He's referring to what he's been doing in the Spirit. So, is it God's will to heal all? Amen. Folks, that'll bring me to tears. Jesus healed all. And he said, go heal every. And if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. So why do we think the Father's different than the Son? He's the exact representation of his being. Father's not holding back on us, folks. The devil wants you to believe that we have an evil father. He's not. He's a loving, compassionate, merciful father. A father. As a father, do you want to see your son twisted up and in a mess? Or do you want to see him free? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least, here it is. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. He's talking about the miracles. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father. How many know that's, he had to go to the Father to send the Spirit? Amen? And that's why he's saying, you'll do greater things than I've done. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do, listen, whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, reflected. See, now it's not just Jesus or just the disciples. It's everybody. See, this is a part of glorifying. This is a part of reflecting God's character, qualities, and ways. It's a part of the process, folks. It's all a part of it. And we take away from God when we say otherwise. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Again, and that's consistent with his character, qualities, and ways, right? Okay? All right? And then John 14, 16 through 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you. That was before the Holy Spirit was sent, right? And will be in you. That's your power source. Now the Spirit of God's in you. Guess what? You've received the spiritual blessing of healing. And therefore, it's the provision for healing in your soul and in your body, and to minister that blessing to others through the Holy Spirit. How do we know this? Mark 16, 15 through 19. I'm reading the New American Standard. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. No, we are not a snake-handling church, and no, we don't keep a bottle of poison up here to test God with. The Bible says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. But how many know Paul was on a missionary journey, and he reached in to near a fire, and a serpent, or they lit the fire, a serpent come out, latched onto him, and all the people there thought, man, he's going to die. And he just shook it off and nothing happened, and it turned the whole community around that he was in, because nothing happened to him. Because it was the power of God operating. See, it's about the kingdom of God. We make it about us a lot of times. Now, not that God doesn't have compassion to heal us, but again, we already talked about being set apart for his purposes. Amen? Okay? It says, they will pick up serpents and they will drink deadly poisons and it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Amen? All right. And James says this, James 5, 13 through 16. See, all I'm doing, folks, is I'm making the progression for you, that it does get to us, okay? James 5, 13 through 16, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith might make the sick person well. Will make the sick person well. Again, already the question is, how come it doesn't happen every time, Pastor? I'm not saying that this doesn't get in the way. I'm not saying I don't have it get in the way of me. And I'm one of the elders that you're supposed to come to and anoint you with oil and pray for you. Amen? It could be a combination of the two. How do we know all those things? We don't. Okay? We can begin to look for obstacles that block the flow of the Spirit. But let's at least be willing to admit the Spirit is there. And the issue is not on God's end. But it's not also because we don't have enough faith or, you know, all these things that you're a bad person or something must be wrong with you, you must be in sin, all those stupid things that have been thrown out there, why healing doesn't occur. Sometimes it could just be the fact that our faith is weak. It's not that we don't have enough, because everyone, salvation has been given a measure of faith. But our faith can be weak, amen? You know? And the faith, and I'm going to get into this in future messages, I'm just saying this just because I know that question comes up on this passage of Scripture. Your faith is the connection point between the spiritual realm and the natural realm, okay? Reinhard Bonnke says our faith is like a fuse. It's like, you know, in your house. If that fuse can be that big, right? But if that fuse is pulled, even if it's only that far apart between the wiring of where the power source comes and the receptacle, or that which receives the power doesn't cross the gap, does it? The fuse has got to be inserted, and it brings the connection, and the power flows to turn on the light, the washer and dryer, the refrigerator, etc., etc., etc. Okay? So we've got to believe that power is there every time. If you think it might not be God's will to heal you, guess what? You got a short-circuited fuse. Well, maybe God doesn't want to heal me this time. I mean, the Bible says, pray and ask for wisdom, and it will be given to all without finding fault. But if you doubt, you are like tossed between the wind and the wave, and you won't receive anything from God. I mean, the Bible says in Mark 11 that have faith in God. And if you have faith without doubt, and you say to that mountain, be moved, it'll move. Right? Well, what if the mountain's too big? Short-circuited fuse. Now, I don't have all the answers how to overcome some of those obstacles. I'm going to be honest with you. But I'm just saying, I have had to admit in my own life, if I'm not getting what that spiritual blessing provides, I no longer blame God. I no longer think, well, must be he doesn't want that for me. I have come to the place where I've had to accept the fact. You all know Dawn and I have had 25 years of infertility struggles. And I'm going to tell you, it bothers me more than any of you here that for whatever reason, my faith has not been strengthened, built up to the place where somehow it's not fully short-circuited. Am I in condemnation over that? No, it has nothing to do with my value. It has nothing to do with God's blessing on my life, whether he wants to bless me or don't bless me. I know he wants to. I take full responsibility. And it's one of the things that frustrates me to the nth degree. I'm going to be the first to admit it. But I'm going to tell you, I still know it's something that I am working through, that I have to continue to press through. And I'm going to get into future messages on faith issues, and I'll probably be very transparent about this. But I know that I have a busy schedule and I'm involved in things. I should, you know, there are things that can get in the way of me kicking the roadblocks out of the way. But I take responsibility. And I don't get in condemnation of, oh, I'm bad, or I'm worthless, or I'm in, you know, or I'm. It's not about that. It's not about my value. It's about my engagement to build my faith so that my fuse no longer is short-circuited. But I honestly, I don't walk in guilt and shame. I walk in frustration sometimes. I'll be honest. You know? But nonetheless, all right. But it says they will recover. So the application here this morning, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Next slide, please. Action step. Lay hands on the sick. Pray for one another in Jesus' name for healing. I want to challenge this church to do that. I haven't received it yet. Dawn's mom, how many have heard of Sid Roth and the show It's Supernatural? Anybody ever seen that? Sid had a show. Dawn kept saying, you need to watch this. So basically, one night I got home and she pretty much just set the iPad down in my lap and said, you need to watch this. You're preaching on healing. You need to watch this. I said, okay, I'm going to watch it. Thank God for a persistent wife. It was a show on a man, they call him the praying medic. He's written some books. This guy is an EMT. He's ridden an ambulance after ambulance ride. And they said, listen to this. You want to talk about what needs to break down the barriers for healing on our end? This guy prayed for people as an EMT. He had lots of opportunity to do it, okay? He prayed for people about 400 and some times before he ever saw a healing. But he believed God. So he kept laying hands, and he kept praying. Well, guess what happened? Because of his persistence, whatever the obstacle was in the natural that you know, was blocking the healing power, just be out of sheer persistence, he just kept believing, and he kept doing it. And if there was any fear, if there was any doubt, think about it. Every time he laid hands on somebody, he was faithful to do it. It was like an axe to a tree. Bam, one more shot. Bam, one more shot. Bam, one more shot. Sooner or later, some tree's going to fall. And listen, now this guy has a literally on testimony, about 80% of the people he prays for get healed. I'm like, I ordered the resources. I did. I ordered them. Not only did I watch the video, now I'm going to read the book. Right? 80% rate? Not quite as good as Jesus. Well, Jesus probably didn't have 100%, but it wasn't his fault. Right? Okay? But listen, so take advantage. You see a sick person? It's like, let me be the one that prays for him. Let me lay hands on them and believe God until something happens. If we start doing, and don't wait just because it's in church. Start, you know, he did it out there. Guess what? How many think the first time he went to pray for somebody, he was like this? How many think fear would have been an obstacle for the power of God, but he did it again and again? I mean, after a while, you know, embarrassment is like out the window. I'm just going to pray. You see what I'm saying? There's things that have got to be broken down in us. All right. Well, this week, as I was praying, the Lord put it on my heart that there are a number of yokes in people's lives that keep them from receiving, experiencing, and doing all that God has planned for their life. It just burdened me. These yokes can weigh us down from pursuing God's provisions, like I've been talking about, even though we have the spiritual blessings. They can keep us from pursuing God's plans for our lives and even his purpose of glorifying us. All of these things can be yokes. Fear, anxiety, and worry. Anybody deal with any of that? How about frustration and anger? Things are just going on in your life and you're so frustrated, but it's a yoke that weighs you down. Right? Shame and guilt. I don't measure up. I wasn't a good enough father. I wasn't a good enough mother. I wasn't a good enough friend. Hopelessness and despair. Nothing's ever going to change. Why bother? Deception or confusion. I'm telling you, what I'm teaching you today is truth, and I was taught a lot of deception, falsehood, false doctrine about this area of healing. And I've had to fight, and I'm still fighting, because I'll tell you, every time I try to exercise my faith, those old tapes still want to creep up in my mind. Trust me, I'm preaching to you in faith today, because I still have those old dispensational teachings that said that the gifts of His Spirit passed away, and God doesn't do that anymore today. Well, I'm here to say I'm not putting up with that. I'm taking captive that thought to the obedience of Christ and to the truth of God's Word. But it's there, folks, and we got to break it down. Doubt and unbelief and even sin. When we disobey God's authority, will, and word. How many are struggling with some yokes this morning? If you're honest. And those yokes can be bondages in our flesh. They can come from the world. They can come from the enemy. They bind us. They weigh us down. They keep us from experiencing all that God's provided us. But I want you to look at this picture. This is what I'm closing with this morning. I preach the truth to you, but I want you to do something about it today. I want you to see this picture of what God wants to do with these yokes that seek to weigh us down and bind us up. Exodus 6, 1 through 8. Last passage. Next to last passage. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see that what I will do to Pharaoh, because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, Almighty. Or as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord," that really is, that word, that name, the Lord, is really a play of, it's really I am. So by my name, I am. I did not make myself fully known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is what he's saying. I also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I want you to hear this. I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Listen, that's what the spiritual blessings are all about. God doesn't forget His covenants, and they're never revoked. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am, says the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I mean, no, today's yokes are the flesh, the world, and the devil. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with a mighty act of judgment. I will take you as your own, as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore. How many know those are promises in this world? Every spiritual blessing has promises connected to it. And God wants you to take you into every promise that He's made, because every promise in Christ is yes and amen. And I will bring you to the land I swore to the uplifted, with uplifted hand to give to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. So this is what it requires, folks. This is what it required for them. This is what it requires for us. You want to come out from underneath the yoke of flesh and the world and the enemy? This is what it's going to require. Trusting the Lord. You got to trust his heart. You got to trust his word. Even when you don't see things with the naked eye instantly, you've got to trust him. And then you've got to submit to him. Yield to the Lord in the attitude of your heart. I agree with you, Lord. Yes, you are right. I believe. I will follow your way. And then ultimately, you've got to follow through in your words, actually, and actions in doing the Lord's will. That's how you break yokes. You trust him. You submit the attitude of your heart to him. And you do what he says. I know on all those yokes, the word of God is not silent. Amen? If you would, stand up with me this morning. Okay, I'll wait. Are there any yokes in your life that are keeping you from receiving and experiencing the provisions God has made available to you in Christ? Or are there any yokes that are keeping you from pursuing and doing what God has planned for your life? God's got a call on every one of our life. God's got a ministry in every one of our life. How many things are getting in the way of what God wants you to be doing in the kingdom of God, to do the ministry of reconciliation, to free as you have freely received, to freely give? In other words, have you been so consumed with the things that are happening in your life that you've been neglecting, avoiding, or even resisting what God wants you to be doing? That's a sure sign that some kind of yoke exists in your life. And the Lord does not want that for you. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This morning, if you're carrying a yoke, the Lord wants to set you free of that thing. He wants you to trust him enough to say, I need help. He wants you in the attitude of your heart to say, Lord, I believe. Overcome my unbelief. Lord, I've been afraid. I've been afraid that you wouldn't do what you said. I have to admit it. I've doubted it. I've tried to tell myself I believe, but really I've been afraid. I haven't really trusted that you would be who you said you are. And I need to get rid of that yoke. Lord, I've looked at my situation as if, how is this ever going to change? But yet you are the one who sets the captives free, who provides what we need. If you're carrying some yoke, let the Spirit of God speak to you right now this morning. I believe right now he is showing you what is weighing you down. The question is, are you going to let him break that? And are you going to throw it off? This morning, I want to invite you, if that's you, I want to ask you to take some action now. Step out of your seat, come up here, and begin to confess that to the Lord this morning.